Our theme text is taken from Micah 6:8, and if you had attended the Milwaukee Convention 2 weeks ago, you would know that that was the theme text of the Milwaukee Convention. And I'm going to read that very familiar verse from the NIV translation. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah wrote these words in the context of his time to a Jewish audience, and he indicated that this was not a new message. Micah stressed that God had previously shown in his writings what is good. We find similar words in Deuteronomy 10:12, using the RSV. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Was this an unreasonable requirement on God's part? Was this asking too much? I would say no. We are assured of this in Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 to 14. There we find these words, "For this commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it." The Lord's instructions are not difficult to understand. However, when Jesus gave his disciples a lesson in humility during the feet-washing incident which occurred on the evening before his death, he informed them of these words as recorded in John 13:17. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Knowing is one thing, sometimes doing is another. In John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness to me." When Jesus uttered these words, the scriptures referred to the Old Testament records. Therefore, I think that it is appropriate to apply the phrase, what is good, in Micah 6:8, in a large sense to Jesus. This could be a reference to the good things to come under Messiah, of which the law was a shadow. We are told that in Hebrews 10:1. However, the things mentioned in Micah 6:8 are required of everyone who would have any standing with the Lord. They are not mere suggestions. Micah 6:8 is an amplification of the golden rule: deal justly with others if you would expect them to deal justly with you. Be merciful with others if you would expect them to be merciful with you. The prophet was encouraging the Jews to do their best to fulfill the law's requirements. For one to keep the principles of truth and righteousness before his own mind is to be a thoroughly upright man or woman in whom truth, purity, goodness will be in control. Micah 6:8 is addressed to the Jews, but is stated more in the sense or meaning of the second great commandment as given by our Lord, which was to love thy neighbor as thyself. The first 2 points of the text, to act justly and to love mercy, have to do particularly with our brethren, our neighbors, and friends. It is possible to manifest both justice and injustice in our dealings with God, but the quality of mercy cannot be manifested toward Him. Our brethren and everyone else with whom we have contact are the ones who need mercy and can benefit by just dealings. Righteousness and justice, we are told, are the foundation of God's throne. All His acts are first considered in the light of justice. When in love and mercy God planned to redeem man, He had first to make provision for the satisfaction of His justice, for God cannot violate His own justice. If then we hope to copy the divine example and be holy, even as our Father in heaven is holy, justice and righteousness must be our first consideration also. And the character of our words and actions and even our thoughts must be determined thereby. God has ordained the matter in such a way that love and appreciation for Him and obedience to His directives must be demonstrated by our dealings with our brethren. The way then to determine the degree of our love for God is to examine our dealings with one another. For the degree of our justice and mercy to one another is the measure of our love for God. By nature, we are self-centered to such an extent that justice and mercy are more or less obscured to our vision, and even when seen are often withheld. Every lapse into sin is injustice, and injury to others is not restricted to the grosser forms of evil, such as murder or robbery and slander, but it is possible in the little things that we do and say every day. The very laws that man enacts in order to compel justice often work injustice because of man's inability to know and to take into account all the conditions and circumstances of another person's action. Years ago, when the railroad was coming into existence in our country, there was once a saying that if a man steals a loaf of bread, he is put in jail. But if he steals a railroad, he's put in Congress.